I really do appreciate the opportunity to come along and to share something of the Lord's work amongst His ancient people with you. I know that some of you will be probably aware of this work and others never heard of it before. So I hope that all will maybe catch a glimpse of what the Lord is doing amongst the Jewish people, even in our midst here in Northern Ireland. It's been a great encouragement to me because the Jewish population is very, very small here. We have no more than about 400 registered Jewish people in the province. And that number has been greatly boosted by young Israelis coming in to work in our shopping centres and to maybe go door to door selling paintings. Some of you will have experienced this, no doubt. And it's really lovely to have them in our homes and to be able to talk to them freely about the Lord without any, I suppose, to be honest, parental restraint from their side, because they're away from home, they're away from the rabbi, and it's just an opportunity to tell them of someone who loves them more than we love them, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, their own Messiah. So just a wee minute, we'll have a look at the photographs and hopefully give you a little report on the work. First of all, I'd like to turn to the Word of God in Luke chapter 24. I'm sure it's a favourite passage of a lot of us in the room tonight. It's certainly a favourite passage of mine. Luke chapter 24, and we're not going to read it all. You'll be glad to know. Just from verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Perhaps we go down to verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And he drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? May the Lord indeed richly bless to us the reading of his own precious truth again tonight. It's just a little verse, verse 15, I was thinking of particularly. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus, he makes us a very precious promise. He promises that he'll never leave us, nor he'll never forsake us. And though we know that as a biblical truth, and sometimes we forget it in reality in our lives. And I was thinking about Joseph in particular. Joseph, you remember, who was loved by his father and hated by his brethren. And Joseph, who was set upon by his brethren and robbed of that coat of many colours and put into a pit and sold as a slave into Egypt. And in Egypt he was used as a slave in Potiphar's house. And daily he was really provoked to immorality by Potiphar's wife. And yet it says in that very same chapter, in Genesis chapter 39, three times it says that the Lord was with Joseph. And, you know, Joseph was conscious of that. He just didn't know it as a biblical truth. He was conscious that the Lord was with him. Because he said to Potiphar's wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You know, how my life would be changed if I knew it in reality, that the Lord Jesus himself drew near every day and went with me. You know, how it would change how I spoke to people if I thought the Lord was at my shoulder. How it would change how I react, even in the home, if I knew that the Lord was listening. Of course he is. We often talk about coming into the Lord's presence, but we're never out of the Lord's presence in reality. We can draw near in prayer, but it was just the reality of it here, that Jesus himself, it wasn't an angel, it wasn't an archangel, it was the Lord himself who drew near and went with him. But it's also, of course, a safeguard in the day of temptation. When temptation comes, if we have that conscious, real sense of the Lord's presence with us, there is the reassurance as well of his presence. Think of the little boat out in the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples were really in despair, and a great storm had arose in John chapter 6, and they were tossed to and fro. And the scripture tells us there that they were afraid. And they look, and in verse 19, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. You know, there is the reassurance of his presence, because storms can blow up very quickly in our lives. Things can be so calm one day, and then the next day you're in all sorts of bother, and you don't know where it's come from, and you're afraid. We're all the same. We're absolutely all the same, and the Lord knows that. And he drew near to the boat, and he just said to them, it is I. He reassured them with his presence. Now, there's not only the reality of his presence, there's the reassurance of his presence. And I'm sure I've said this to you before. I often think of Jairus. You know, when that message came from his home that his wee daughter was dead, I often think whose presence he was in at that time. He was standing with the Lord when he heard that news. And how important it is that, you know, in days of sorrow, that the Lord comes near to us and he whispers, you know, he comes right to us and he whispers, it is I. Be not afraid. But I was thinking particularly of the resources associated with his presence. And those two on the road to Emmaus, as they began that journey that day, it was a journey not only, you know, from Jerusalem to Emmaus, it was a journey that he took with them, that he took right through the Old Testament scriptures. As he walked with them, he opened his word to them. And as he walks with us, he opens his word to us. And he reveals himself through his word. And he teaches us daily. Our wee granddaughter, she's not quite started school yet. And she's just learning to write. And you know, when she does start school, she won't be doing her A-levels the first day. You know, it'll take a wee while before she gets to that stage. And we're just the same in the Christian life. We need to grow in grace. And you don't grow all at once. You grow on a daily basis. And as they walked with him, he opened unto them the scriptures. And, you know, he talked to them about himself. He wasn't correcting them all the time. I know correction is important. It's important that we know how we should live. We know how we should do this. But it's interesting, his subject was himself. You know, it's the Apostle Paul says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. It's to know him. He is the gracious teacher. I was thinking of Joshua. You know, when that terrible news came to Joshua that Moses was dead. That must have really shook Joshua. He was just human like the rest of us, and Moses was a great leader. But the Lord came to Joshua and spoke to him personally, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Arise, go over this Jordan, And then the Lord made him a wonderful promise. He said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And that's a very precious thing. He promised his presence. But you know, there was something else that went with his presence. The Lord also said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but in it thou shalt meditate both day and night. The Lord's presence and his word went hand in hand together. There are plenty of people tell us today that they know the Lord and they're walking close with the Lord, but they've no time for his word. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's his presence and his word. As he walked with them, he opened unto them the scriptures. He opened their understanding that they may understand the word of God. There is the reality of his presence. Jesus himself drew near, and there's the reassurance of his presence that he comes to us even when sorrow and desperate days come. And he says, it is I. Be not afraid. But dear friends, there's also the resources of his presence. He brings with him his word, and he opens unto us the scriptures that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now just give me a wee minute or two and I'll switch this thing on, and hopefully you'll be able to see from where you are. We think of the Jewish people, of course, we think of the Word of God, and in every synagogue in the world today, they read from the scroll of the Torah, the books of Moses, and this little verse from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 8 says, the Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. It's interesting that the Lord sent his written word to the Jewish people, and he also sent his living word, the Lord Jesus himself, for he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And it's interesting for us to remember, and even to pray on a Saturday. Every synagogue in the world, they'd be reading not the Quran, nor the Book of Mormon. They'd be reading the Bible. And the Lord can remove the veil of recognition from their hearts. No, Jewish people have been saved in synagogue. This is the same book. This is a picture of what we would imagine an Orthodox Jew to look like. And this is an Orthodox Jew at prayer in the morning. And you can see he's wearing not a tea towel, but a tallit, a prayer shawl. And the tallit, well, it's a Hebrew word, of course, but it's a mixture of two Hebrew words. One means small, and the other... And it looks under a small tent there. And it reminds them, of course, that they met with God in the wilderness in a small tent, the tabernacle in the wilderness. And that's what he's doing personally. He's meeting with the Lord. He's got a phylactery, a little leather pouch on his head containing the word of God, and one on his left arm. There's a sadness of a particular slide because he's got the word of God sitting open in front of him. But his eyes are covered. And that's the picture of Israel nationally at this time. Blindness in part, the apostle tells us, is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. I mean, in synagogues, as I've said, all over the world today, they were reading the scriptures, and some of them, well, all of them really, testify of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there's a veil that hides him from their view. A closer look at the Western Wall, or the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. You can see this is the men's side. There's no ladies at this side. They're segmented off. And this is really another sad picture, really, because it's morning prayers and they've come to the wall because there's no temple there. This was the location of the Temple of Solomon and also Herod's temple. But both temples were destroyed. The Temple of Solomon was destroyed in in 586 BC by the Babylonians. And the Temple of Herod was destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans, by Titus and his armies. And when they come, there's nothing there. The high priest used to go in once a year for all the people on the great day of atonement, but there's nothing here. And they come to a wall. Well, what does a wall suggest to you? Well, it suggests a barrier, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus didn't say, "I am the wall." He said, "I am the door." And what a difference. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And it is a particularly sad picture. And that's why it's called the Wailing Wall. You probably knew that, but that's why it's called the Wailing Wall. Because they're still in mourning for the destruction of the temple, or two temples. We seek to reach out to the Jewish people with the Word of God. We've nothing better than what has come to us from them. But we do so in the New Testament because they don't have the New Testament. And we do it in this way. We do it in bilingual format. And what I mean by that, we use Hebrew on one side of the page of the New Testament and the language of the country the Jewish person is in on the other side of the page. So if it happens to be France, it's Hebrew-French. If it happens to be Germany, it's Hebrew-German. And these are all the languages that we produce and make available to them. This is a Hebrew-English New Testament. This is a Hebrew-French, Hebrew-Dutch, Hebrew-Portuguese, Hebrew-Arabic, Hebrew-Spanish, going across to the other side, Hebrew-Romanian, Hebrew-Russian, Hebrew-Yiddish, and Hebrew-German, Hebrew-Hungarian. Wherever Jewish people are found, or where there's enough of them really, we seek to offer them a copy of the New Testament. The New Testament has basically been forbidden reading for Jewish people for centuries. But we praise the Lord that He is removing that obstacle in these days. This is where we send the scriptures out from to communities. It's Joseph House. This is the building that we have in North London, in Hitchin. And just, if you could remember in your prayers, the building has been damaged recently. It's come under attack. There are plenty of people who don't want us to do what we're doing. And there are those who hate the Jewish people. And we would just ask for your prayers for protection for the building there in North London. This is inside the building where every one of these racks is one of those issues of the New Testament that I've just told you about. You'll know, I'm sure, that this year has been the 60th anniversary of the State of Israel. The modern State of Israel came into being 60 years ago. And it's a miracle in itself, because for the best part of 2,000 years, of course, there was no Israel as such. People just talked about the wandering Jew. And the very fact that Israel is back in the land, even though it's in unbelief, is in a partially a fulfillment of prophecy. And it's a remarkable miracle when you think of it, because they were on the verge of annihilation in 1945. You know, just think of it. Had this man had a few more years, there would be no Jews left. But the Lord stayed His hand. And He stayed His hand because of this. He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye. And I know we can take that personally. But it was spoken about Israel. And it's still true. Whoever puts their hand towards them will ultimately fail. No weapon formed against them has ever been successful. Even the gas chambers were ultimately unsuccessful, because they didn't complete the work. God didn't allow it. So the Lord has unfinished business with Israel. He's made certain promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, which He is yet to fulfill. Israel has still got their enemies, and this is one of them today, a very prominent enemy. The president of Iran has said on numerous occasions that Israel should be wiped from the map. And he doesn't mean politically, he means actually. And in that region, they have very few friends. And we can see even the political wind changing in America at this time. And it's coming soon that Israel will have no friends in the world. And when you see these things happening, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. the society has a great opportunity in Jerusalem itself over the last 15 years or so. Every 2 years since 1993, the society has been invited to the largest Jewish book fair in the world, the Jerusalem International Book Fair. Now, just think about that a moment. We're Christians, and we produce a book primarily that Jewish people don't want, the New Testament scriptures, and yet we get invited to the largest Jewish book fair in the world, and we keep getting invited. You know, this is nothing to do with us. Don't think we're some great organization. It's nothing to do with us. The Lord is bringing about the circumstances where His ancient people have His word. This was just something of the literature they sent last time in 2007. And I just show it to you because it's interesting. There are two symbols on it. And this was the invitation they sent from the book fair. There's one symbol here representing a book. And I know it's a colorful thing and it looks like a flower or something, but it represents a book. You know, when you think of a book in Israel, what's the book you think about? It's the Bible, of course, isn't it? You can't divorce the Jewish people in Israel from the Bible. And here's the other symbol. And this symbol is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. When you think of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, who do you think of? Think of the Lord Jesus, who is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah in the book of Revelation. Even on their advertising literature, Israel can't get away from Christ. The man who opened the book fair last time was Shimon Peres, and he was he is now the president of Israel. He wasn't then, but he is now because of political shake-up, but he opened the book fair last time. And this is what happens every time the society goes to a Jewish book fair. We always put a poster up of Hebrews chapter 1. Now, why we do that is because many Jewish people have never read the New Testament. Never. And the rabbi says, you know, don't be reading it. It's a Christian book. It's nothing to do with you. And they come to the book fair and they see the New Testament openly displayed. And they see a book, the first chapter of a book called Hebrews, and they ask, what is it? And we say, it's out of the New Testament. And they wonder to themselves, how come there's a book called Hebrews in the New Testament if it's nothing to do with me? And they go over and they begin to read it, and of course, it's got everything to do with them because it's speaking directly to them. Think of the book of Hebrews. Who's it actually speaking to? I'm not saying that we can't get much from it. Of course we can. But it's an open letter to the nation of Israel. It's saying that Christ is greater than all these things. He's greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. Who were all these things given to? They were given to the Jewish people. You see this man here? They come and they begin to read it. I've seen this a number of times. And they start to read it. And they never go away. They don't sort of read two words or four verses and go away. They read the whole thing. And you know, brothers and sisters, tonight, if it's only for that man, it's enough. The Lord is opening doors in places that there were never even doors before. You know, we get a bit blasé about it in the work ourselves because we think, well, you know, we've been doing this, you know, we've been going to Israel since 1993, isn't it great, and so on. I mean, if the Lord closed the door, it would stop and that's it. Except the Lord build the house. And it's so beautiful to see young people coming to the book fair because initially they didn't come. Well, they came to the book fair, but they didn't come to our stand. And they were afraid of what their parents may think or the rabbi or whoever was there. And here are young people coming and reading the Word of God openly at the book fair. It's so precious to see it. When you think of individuals like this, and this man in morning prayers again, reading the Word of God, but sadly the veil is upon his heart, and he cannot see the person of Christ. And you think, well, these people are unreachable. They'll never come to our stand. They'll never come and look for the New Testament. You see individuals like this, they're unapproachable. If you go near them, they look down on the ground. If they go past the stand, they won't look near your stand because you have the New Testament. because you're obviously Christian. They just won't engage in any one way. This was last year. These are two ultra-Orthodox Jews at our stand. See, nobody's got a shotgun behind them. You know, this is the Lord's doing. You know, I'm not saying we're doing, and we're not doing anything. You can never make these boys come. But here they are. And something is happening. And individuals like this who formerly would never have sat, you think of this man sitting down at our stand and all in front of him are walking past, and he's sitting down in the middle of Jerusalem, he's Jewish, reading the New Testament. We think, well, that's all right, you know, it's no problem sitting down reading the New Testament. Think of what that means for him. This book is despised generally. This is a dear couple who have been in Northern Ireland, but it was last year just for a short time. They're a Dutch couple, Martine and Geert van der Veen, and they work in Jerusalem, in Israel, for the best part of the year, and they really work mainly amongst the Israeli soldiers, and they seek to give them the Word of God, and they do so mainly through a little CD-ROM that we've produced. We have 35 Bibles on a CD-ROM. And now, when I say that, you may think, well, why do you do that? What's the point of that? Why do you not just put one Bible on it? Well, the reason we do it is because many of these young soldiers, Hebrew is not their first language. They have come from another country, and they've joined the Israeli forces. And this dear lad's an Ethiopian. And so we want to give them something in their own language and the ancient language of Hebrew as well. And this is a way to do it, and it's a way to do it very quickly. And they're young people, I don't need to tell you this, but I mean, young people are just computer literate. I mean, if this goes wrong tonight, I'm bait. But, you know, you live with this stuff. And it's the same in Israel. These young people, immediately they get the CD-ROM, it's in, and they start to read the scriptures. Young girls, the young men spend 3 years in the army. The young girls spend 2 years in the army. I always think that these two, you think they should still be at school. The guns are nearly bigger than they are. And it's very sad, really, that they have to live like this. And this is our brother Hirt in Jerusalem, giving the scriptures through the CD-ROM at the book fair. And you know, the young men stopping and discussing things, this wasn't happening a few years ago. And this man, who is a colonel in the Israeli forces, he came to the stand and he stood away back and he put his hand in his heart and he said, Hashem bless you. And Hashem is the name. And the name, of course, is the name Jehovah, but they won't say Jehovah. But that's what he meant. And that's unusual for that to happen because, generally speaking, they just avoid the stand. But he recognized that we loved the Jewish people. And that's the reason we were there. Israel at the door, I've put it. But this is just the great joy of having them here as well in Northern Ireland. Because when they leave the army, many of them join these companies that are selling products all over the world. And some of them join art companies. And there are a number of art companies that send people all over the world and send them to Northern Ireland. And this is just in our home in Killaloe. And it's easier just dwelling with those that have come to us presently. And this lad came to us about 2 years ago at Christmas time. And he was selling paintings. And as soon as we heard he was from Israel, we brought him in. And he was there. He was there, I mean, two and a half hours later, he was still there, you know. And it was really lovely. We had a tremendous open conversation with him. And I liked this painting, and it was coming near my birthday, so Suzanne bought me this painting. And it all went well from that point of view. And then we were talking and talking, and I brought up the scriptures, of course, and he said, he was really very open to speak about the Lord Jesus. And he said, what do you think of this Christmas? And I just wasn't expecting that question. What do you think of this Christmas business? And I said, well, you know, get away from all the tinsel toy business and think of what your prophet said, Isaiah the prophet. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And I said, isn't it very interesting that it says the child was born, but the son was given? The child that was born 2,000 years ago was the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus didn't become the Son of God in Bethlehem's manger. He always was the Son of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he said, oh, I've never heard that put that way before. I said, that's the Lord Jesus. Your prophet was speaking of him. And he was quite willing to, whether he agreed with me or not, he was quite willing to take that. And at the end of our wee conversation, he took the Word of God, both Old and New Testament. Now, as I say, we get very blasé about it, and there's so many of these young people in our province. But if someone had told me 5 years ago I was going to have an Israeli soldier sitting in my front room listening to the gospel, you know, I just said, you know, catch yourself on. That's not going to happen. But the Lord is bringing them. We may not be able to go to Israel, but it appears Israel's coming to us. And the Lord is making it possible. And of course, typically Israeli, as soon as he got up to go, he said, now, if you want your picture framed, the company will send somebody to frame your picture. And I said, now tell me, the person who comes to frame our picture, will they also be Jewish? And he said, oh yes. And I looked at Suzanne and said, well, I think we'll have our picture framed. So within, you know, within 2-3 days, this lad came. So you get two Israelis for the price of one here. This lad came and he was so, you know, they're so quick. He framed the picture in about, you know, 15 minutes, 10 minutes maybe. And we started to talk to him. And he was there, you know, he was just there about 2-3 hours. And, you know, there was nothing off the agenda. He was very, very open. We also gave him the Word of God. And we asked you to pray for these lads. They'd both been in the Lebanon during that month-long battle, really, with Hezbollah, and had seen very terrible things, at least the first one had. And they're both, of course, soldiers. They're all soldiers because they have to do their national service. And he took the Word of God as well. This lad came to my brother's house in Downpatrick, and my brother bought a picture of another wee Israeli girl. And this lad came to frame the picture. In the meantime, I came to see my brother and brought him some scriptures. And I just, as we would say in Northern Ireland, shoved them in a box. I just got them, you know, squeezed into a box and thought they'll do them for a while if anybody else calls. And I left them on the Monday. This lad came on the Wednesday to frame his picture. My brother David was talking to him and said to him about, you know, my brother, speaking about me, has given me some scriptures, and he gave him a set, and the lad was so thrilled with them, he put his hand in his pocket to pay for them. And my brother said, no, these are from Christians who love the Jewish people and who just owe a debt of gratitude to them. And he was willing to take the New Testament. And my brother said to him, we're leaving Northern Ireland on Saturday. And my brother said, you said we're leaving? And the lad said, yes, there's a little team of us. There's six of us in the team. And my brother looked down at the box I'd given him, and I'd given him six sets of scriptures. And he said to the lad, that's very strange. My brother's given me six sets of scriptures. And the lad said, do you think the rest would receive it? And he said, oh yes. They would love it. Now I tell you something. Think about a minute. Had that anything to do with me or my brother? Of course it hadn't. You know, the Lord doesn't need us. But he just uses us. It pleases him to use us in these situations. And he's bringing about, that's sort of matter of fact, every day But that's the way the Lord works. He just works like that with us. There's none of us anything. This wee girl came to us in August time, and her name's April, just to confuse the whole thing. She came at the beginning of August, and she was, it was another 3 hour stunt, and she stayed with us all Saturday evening. And we had a tremendous open conversation with her again. And she told us that she'd been an officer in the Israeli army. And now I'm sitting, you think of it, we've had three visits like this, and I'm sitting with a room full of Hebrew, English, New Testament. I don't think it's an accident, you know, that they're coming. And she said her home had been struck by a missile at the beginning of June, and it hadn't exploded. Obviously, she wouldn't be with us. And she said it came from Hamas. And she said, you know, she used either preserved or saved. We were preserved or saved. I can't remember what she said. But, you know, it was a wonderful opening to speak about a greater salvation, even though she was saved from that. And we had the chance to speak to her about the Lord. And she said she was so disappointed with the political situation in Israel about Ehud Olmert and about the corruption that he's got himself into, and he's letting the country down and so on. And I just said to her, you know, very simply, I said to her, well, you know, any man, if we put our faith in any man other than the Lord, that man will fail. It's only the Lord that can give us peace, that can save us. And she was quite happy about that. Now, we obviously didn't buy a painting because we already had a painting, but at the end of her conversation, I give her the Word of God, and immediately she got it. She took off her Star of David and she gave it to Suzanne. Suzanne didn't want to take it, of course, but she insisted, absolutely insisted, that this would happen. And they recognized something precious about the Word. And you know, you're giving them, you think of it, they're away from home. Obviously, they speak Hebrew. You're giving them a book in Hebrew. What are they going to read when they go home at night? They're going to read the book in Hebrew, even if it is the New Testament. And it's a sort of wonderful opportunity in this way. And this lad came, I'm sorry it's such a bad photograph, but this lad came to look for her. She'd been away so long that he came to look for her. And of course, he got the Word of God as well when he came. It was the Lord. This is back at the book. For my time's gone here, Johnny. I'm in big trouble here. This lady here, this is a very orthodox lady. You can see that she's just the way she's dressed. And she come to the front of the stand, and her sister Martine, I think, felt a bit sorry for her because she was very conspicuous being at the front of the stand and all these New Testaments, and she's very orthodox. And she brought her around the side and she asked her what she wanted. And the lady said, well, I can't take the New Testament. I would love to take it, but I can't. My husband wouldn't allow it in the house. And that's true, of course. He would kick her out if that, you know, if that was the case. But Martine said, well, you know, you can download the scriptures. We have a website. You can download the scriptures. And she said, well, I couldn't do that at home. My husband would know immediately. And Martine very cleverly said, do you work out? And she said, oh, yes, I do. She said, I hadn't remembered about the computer at work. And that's what she's doing. She's writing down the website. And I believe, now I can't say this to be absolutely sure, but I believe that many ultra-Orthodox Jews have downloaded from this site the New Testament scriptures. And of course, if their community knew, they would be expelled and so on. But it's a wonderful tool. I mean, I know the evil one uses the internet. Of course he does. But we can also use it for good, to spread the Word of God. Last time the society was at the book fair, the slide before, you could see that wee woman, you know, there's a lot of people going past. But this is about 9:30 in the evening and hardly anybody's here. And this wee man's been hanging about most of the night. And he's come back and forward to the stand. And he came back to say eventually, when he saw nobody else was there, like Nicodemus, he came back to say that 2 years prior to this, 2005, he had come and had received the Word of God, taken the New Testament. Now, nobody remembers him doing it. He maybe just slipped it into a bag or something. But he said that he had been studying it carefully at home, and he had come to faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Lord has promised to bless His Word. My word out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. We're living in a day when everything is man. Everything's the preacher. You know, in essence, everything's a preacher. But the Word of God will abide forever. Forever. When man's voice is silent, it's forever settled in heaven. This man here was on the stand across the other end of the book fair and kept coming to the society stand the whole week. And he's a survivor of the Holocaust, this man. And he came and helped out, you know, various things that the ladies were doing. He helped them with it. And he came at the end of the week and very quietly told them that he was a believer in the Lord Jesus. And they asked him when he became a believer. And he said, many years ago. See, we don't know. There's a lovely verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it says, the Lord knoweth them that are His. This is very typical of orthodoxy. This man doesn't look particularly orthodox, but he is. When he come to the stand, you can see that this is an Old Testament, a Tanakh. And he was coming, reading it, and then moving away, and lifting his head and looking up to see if anybody was watching him. And then he'd come back a wee bit and read a bit more. And it's like one of those wee birds, you know, in Africa, that go down to the water and dip their beak in. And then they'll look up, see if the crocodile's coming and take another wee. But that's exactly the way they read, because they're afraid. I mean, they may be very clever, but they're afraid. They're afraid of their own community. And they're also afraid that somebody will ask them a question, speak to them. And of course, when he's reading the Word of God, the most important person of all is already speaking to him. When you open the Word of God, the author is already present, the Spirit of God. Those who get our magazine will know about Joy and Roberta, Joy Browning and Roberta Collins, who distribute the Word of God in North London. And I just want to show them to you tonight. That's about all I can do. And this is a mezuzah which marks out a Jewish home. I take it nobody's at home or she wouldn't have taken that photograph. And this is Roberta, Roberta Collins. Roberta also distributes the Word of God in North London. It's not easy work. And just some others here. This is Harry and Jolska Ludd, and they distribute the scriptures. They're Dutch, and they distribute the scriptures in Hungary and Romania amongst the Romanian and Hungarian Jews. We're producing a Hebrew-Hungarian Old Testament, and it's almost ready. There's a number of problems still remaining, so we would value your prayers for that. Sergei and Lacey Adari, who were with us at our missionary weekend in St. Vid Baptist, and also were at our one-day conference in Garva this year, they work in the Ukraine, and they work amongst the Jewish people there, distributing the Word of God. And perhaps you could remember them and their little family. It's a difficult situation that they have there. But they have seen a number. This is at a book fair in Moscow, where Sergei is speaking to a Jewish man here and speaking to him about the Word of God. Just quickly, shopping centres. Not that I do much shopping, but this is basically where we find the Jewish people in these days here. On little stands like this, selling Dead Sea products or selling, cuddly toys or helicopters, whatever. They're not all Jewish, but a lot of them are. The first time we came in contact with them was about 2.5 years ago in Ballymena. And somebody told us they were there, and I can't say I didn't believe them, but I just couldn't take it in that there were young Israelis in Northern Ireland. And I went up to Ballymena, and I saw them immediately. Well, I saw this lad immediately. And I went to speak to him. And a lovely lad, and I said, you know, welcome to Northern Ireland. I was so pleased to see you. And I used my whole full sentence in Hebrew, and that was it. And I was hoping he wasn't going to say anything else. So I said, look, I've got a wee gift for you. And I showed him the Tanakh. And he nearly fell down. He just was not expecting it. And he said, "This is so beautiful. I can't take this." And I said, "Look, everything that I hold precious has come to me through the Jewish people. The Word of God has come to me through the Jewish people. And the Son of God has come to me through the Jewish people." And he said, "You're a Christian." And I said, "Yes, I am. I'm a Christian who loves the Jewish people." And he said, "Well, that's really lovely. Thank you so much." And I said, "I have another wee book here. And you mightn't be so keen to receive this one." And I just got it out of the bag. And he said, "Oh, the Brit Hadashah." And I said, "Yes, the New Testament." And he said, "Oh, I've always wanted to read the New Testament." And of course, now that he was away from home, he had the chance to read it. And I said to him, "You know, how many of you are here?" And he looked at me quite sheepishly and he said, "Well, there's 11 of us." And, you know, I nearly said hallelujah because I just was not expecting him to say 11. I couldn't see 11 people. But they were obviously here, there and everywhere. And there are not so many in Ballymena now, mind you, but this was a wonderful opportunity to reach them. And they all took the Word of God, not one refusal for the New Testament. This is in Machrafelt, and I'm just going to go through a few just to show you. And this is in Newry. Many have taken the scriptures in Newry over the last few years. This lovely girl, I spoke to her on a very busy day for her. She was selling these Dead Sea products, all roads and directions. And she really wouldn't let me go. I just wanted to leave the scriptures, but she wanted to say, you know, "Thank you, and I appreciate what you've done here." And I said, "Look," I did exactly the same. I said, "Look, I have another book here, which maybe you would object to, but please take it in the way it's offered. Take it in love." And she said, "What is it?" And I showed her the New Testament. She said, "Well, yeah, I have no objection to the New Testament." And she stood way back. I had the camera with me, and I said, "Look, do you mind if I take your photograph? You must ask." And she said, "No, take my photograph with your book and my book." And of course, she meant the New Testament. She wouldn't really regard it as her book. This is a big lad, big handsome lad here in Craigavon. And I went to see him. Somebody told me he was there. Where was it? In Debenhams. And he was doing these toys, selling these cars. It was around Hanukkah time. And I took the scriptures to him. And he was so amazed. He just said, "Well, you know, how did you know I was here?" And I said, "Someone told me you were here, but I just wanted to give you a gift for Hanukkah. And also because the scriptures have come to us through the Jewish people, and we want you to have them." And he said, "Tell everybody thank you very much." And obviously, everybody who supports the work, that's what that means. This story's too long. This girl in Newry, I went to, when was this? This was two Christmases ago. Went to Newry, and if you look into this photograph, you can see a number of black clad figures. Well, really, they were very busy, and I brought the scriptures, and I was giving them to them, and they were quite reasonably happy to take them. I wouldn't say they were overjoyed, but they were reasonably happy to take them, and so on. And this, I was just going away, and this girl came around the side of the stand, and she stopped me, and she said, you're giving Tanakhim. And I said, "Yes, I'm giving them for Hanukkah, from Christians who love the Jewish people." And I was going into this whole spiel of why I was doing it, and she stopped me, and she said, "I don't want the Tanakh. I don't want the Old Testament, in other words." And I said, "Oh, I'm really very sorry to hear that." And she said, no, you don't understand. I want the New Testament." Well, I said, "I'm very pleased to hear that." And I put my hand in the bag and I lifted it out and I hadn't even got it to her hand. And she said, you know, I believe." So I said, "What do you believe?" She said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." Now, I'm not saying she's saved, but that's a remarkable thing for a young Israeli girl to say. That's the greatest barrier of all, the deity of Christ. Because remember in John chapter 8, where the Lord was speaking to the Pharisees, and he says to them, "Before Abraham was, I am." In other words, he called himself God. And they immediately picked up stones to cast at him, to kill him. And, you know, the Lord had already removed that barrier. And I was trying to find all sorts of excuses for giving her the scripture. She already wanted them. And the heart was already open. And, you know, we can't do that. Only the Lord can do that. Said of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. And she said to me immediately, I have 2 days off now and I want to read the New Testament. You know, that hit me like a bolt. Because here's a wee girl away from home and she doesn't say, I have 2 days to go to the pub here. I have 2 days to read the New Testament. You know, it's only the Lord can work like this. I go over to Scotland quite a lot to do meetings for the work. We're very, very small. And I know you're all panicking, aren't you? You're all thinking of pizza, but just give me 5 more minutes. This is in Edinburgh, and where is it? The Gaelic Centre in Edinburgh, and I was doing some meetings in Scotland, and I went into the Gaelic Centre, and this wee stand here, I came across it, and it doesn't look particularly Israeli products, but it is, and the girl's just here. It's not a good photograph, but it doesn't matter. She took the Word of God and was not particularly talkative. But, you know, she has the truth. She's taken it. And the Lord can use it. This lad was different. Now, this was an East Kilbride, and he was really very talkative and very open. His name is Joseph, and he comes from Tel Aviv. He'd been in Scotland just 2.5 weeks. And he was very, very bright and bubbly, and you can see he took both Old and New Testament without any difficulty at all. Praise the Lord for that. And this is Castle Court, and I'll just go through them as pictures. This is a married couple who have taken the scriptures around Hanukkah time. And again, a married couple. This lad's called David. He took the word. This little group here, I talked to them. And when I was talking, I was talking to this girl, and this other girl says to this girl, what he means is being born again. You know, she'd obviously heard somebody else say this, and you know, they're already, I mean, believers are coming in and out all the time to these places and speaking to them. This lad's got a wee bit of Ethiopian blood in him, and he's working in Newry, and he's obviously Israeli as well. And this girl also took the scriptures. Let's just leave it there. I think we've got to do that and let you get home. But we'll close in a word of prayer, just? Yeah. Let's just close in a word. Father, we just want to thank Thee for Thy mercies to us another day. Thank Thee for all that we have and all that we enjoy in the lovely person of our Lord Jesus. Thank Thee for Thy great and wondrous salvation that we find in Him. We do think of these dear ones on the screen, our Father, and those that Thou art bringing to our shores at this time. And help us, our Father, when we come across them, just to show them something of the love of Christ, our Father, that they may recognize something in us that we have been with Jesus, and ask us of the hope that lies within us. Pray, our Father, will be open to give them Thy word and to say a little word for the Savior. And we do pray, our Father, that many of these dear young people who are really quite hated by this world, we pray, our Father, that they may find Him who loves them and Him whom to know is life eternal. We commit, our Father, each other to Thee. We ask a blessing upon every head that is bowed before Thee just now. Remember our various family circles. Remember all who are sick and sorrowing. Remember all who are out of Christ and in need of a Savior. And we pray that even tonight they too may come to saving faith in our Lord Jesus. So, our Father, keep Thy loving hand upon us as we part in the Savior's worthy name. Amen.